1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to go over some things here. I want to talk to you about the single Christian's duty to the Lord. And you say, well, I'm not single. That's okay. You're raising a single right now if you have children. All right? You're going to help or counsel someone that's single someday if you're doing the Lord's work. Amen? You're going to help somebody that's in that position. And you need to know what God expects from them. They need to know what God expects from them. But don't worry, there'll be enough in this to step on your toes too. Because don't try to tell people things if you're not doing it yourself. Amen? It'll be real hard to instruct somebody and counsel somebody if you're not living and doing these things yourself as a Christian. So you could apply almost nearly everything that's said to you in principle. You could apply that to you tonight, even if you're not in that position. And it'll help you to be able to understand exactly what the Lord wants from Christians. But particularly tonight, I want to deal with single Christians because I've been asked probably... Well, many times here recently in the last couple months, I've been asked by people, you know, could you preach something on singles? Could you think about it? And I'll tell you what, I don't always do that right away. I always let the Lord lead me and say, well, okay, I'll wait. And then God gives me a witness of something else, and he shows me something else, and then he gives me another witness in another area where I need to deal with something, and then he shows me again another area, and it's like, okay, now God has like surrounded me with this topic, and I have to deal with it. So I need to deal with it. I need to preach on it and try to help and instruct people. And there are some Christians here that are singles, okay? There are some out online. There are many out online that listen to us that are in that position. They're single. And they're wondering, what does God expect from me? What should I do? What if things aren't perfect? What if I don't have that perfect order and that perfect, what do I do then? What am I supposed to do in that case? And I want to give you some answers tonight from the scriptures. I want you to understand this is not entirely exhaustive, okay? There's more that can be said about this. I may preach on it again sometime in the future, but it'll give you enough information, the basics of what God expects. It'll help you too. Amen. There's some good principles to live by here that God instructs us with. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And the Bible says this, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Boy, that's some truth right there, ain't it, brother? We just talked about that the other day, weren't we? Brother Paul's like, hey, this is ringing a bell. We just had a conversation like this. We were talking about this before. Yeah, you were. And you know what? That's when the Lord starts dinging my bell a little bit on different things. When I hear it there, I'll hear it online. Somebody will ask me a question, and it's like God is leading me to preach on this, and I need to deal with it. Amen? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Now, going down here, I'm not going to read the whole chapter for sake of time here, but you would do yourself well to go home tonight and read this entire chapter yourself. Amen? I'm not going to do your homework for you. You do it. But read the entire chapter and understand it exactly. But I'm going to give you the context of which the Apostle Paul is dealing with. He's dealing with a lot of things here. It was written to him about some things, and he's going to deal with them. Let me pray. First, Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise your name for your mercy to us and your goodness to us. Lord, your provision for us. Dear God, you take care of all of us. None of us are starving. All of us are taken care of by you. And dear God, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace and your words, Lord, that you've given us in this King James Bible. Lord, it is our authority. And we thank you for it, Lord, that we have a final authority. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess about it. We don't live in a land of relativity, but we live in the Word of God. Help us now, Lord, please, as our foundation, please, Lord, give us your words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, in verse number 32 in the same chapter, but I would have you without carefulness, he that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord. Now pay attention. Pay attention closely. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now, incidentally, there's no sin in that, by the way. There's no sin for the single. There's no sin for the married there. What he's saying is, oh, they care. The married cares for what? The things of the world, that she may please her husband. Absolutely. That's what God says. If you're going to marry, then you're going to please your husband. That's what you're supposed to do. And directly, you are under the authority of your husband. Amen. And you are to please your husband according to the Lord, according to the word of the Lord. What the Bible says, that doesn't mean you please him in evil or wickedness. Doesn't mean that you disobey God's word and violate your conscience and do wicked, abominable things to please a husband. No, that's not what that's saying. What it's saying is that you will do things only in the Lord, the Bible says. You will do those things that are profitable, and you'll do those things that your husband would want you to do that are well-pleasing. So that's what a married person does. I mean, that's what a wife does. She sacrifices most of those things for the Lord, that she would do for the Lord. Maybe some of those extra things that she would do for the Lord, she's not going to be able to do that because she is one flesh with her husband. And she's got to follow her husband, and she's got to obey him, and she's got to be his helpmeet, okay? And so as long as you understand that's the difference. But however, God has an order for everything. And his order is important for the Christian to follow. No matter what place you are in as a Christian in this life, God has given instructions for you. I don't care what your walk of life is right now as a saved person, whether you're single, married, divorced, which is unmarried, by the way. Unmarried and divorced are the same thing. You'll see that in here. Whether they're unmarried, whether they're divorced, whether they're put away, whether they're a widow, whether you are a Christian man, a single, or whether you are married, there are directions that God has given. There is nobody that can say, well, God didn't tell me what to do in this case. No, he has told you what to do in every situation. Listen to me. Every situation that you are in right now or circumstances that you are experiencing, God has given instructions for them. He has given instructions for you to follow. Isn't that wonderful? God doesn't leave you on your own. He doesn't leave you to yourself. He doesn't leave you wondering, what am I supposed to do now? What am I going to do? I'm in this situation. No, God doesn't leave you that way. There are instructions in the Bible for you, whatever place you're in. Amen? If you're married, he showed you the proper order. If you're unmarried, he's given you explicit instructions. If you're divorced, which is considered unmarried as well, there are instructions. If you're a widow, everything, God has given you all of those instructions. If you're young or old, he's given you instructions. No matter if you're an older single person, a younger single person, an older married person, a younger, God, he didn't leave anything out. He didn't leave anything out. We are without excuse. We will not be able to blame, well, God, you didn't tell me what I was supposed to do. I didn't know what to do in this situation. No, the scriptures are there. Amen. You either believe it's all true or you don't. You either believe that you either believe in the all sufficiency of scripture or you don't. See, the problem is most of the time we're too lazy to dig into it and find out what God has instructed us with. Or maybe we know and we just don't want to obey it. I think that's more than likely the answer. Because deep down, God has placed inside of you, when you're saved, he's given you his Holy Ghost, and he bears witness into your conscience, and he tells you, hey, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. You say, well, I might be able to get away on a technicality. That's what you say in your mind. And I say in my mind, we might be able to get away with this on a technicality. No, you can't, because you know deep down inside what the truth is, because God has revealed it to you. But when you want to fight something or make an excuse over something, you'll find a way to do it. Hey, if you want to make an excuse not to obey God, I guarantee you can find one. And I'll tell you another thing you can do. You can validate it in your own heart. How about that? You can validate that excuse in your own heart to where you say, I have a good excuse for why I don't have to obey God. But you don't. Because there is no excuse. There is no excuse, is there? Let's see. Maybe you're a daughter without proper biblical authority over you. Happens. We've experienced that here. We've seen it here. It's real. You have instructions too. God's given them. God has given you instructions for everything in this world. The Lord Jesus has not left us without proper instruction. The Father cares for his children and has given them his words to live by and instruct them. He's given them everything. So let's get started here. What is the single person's first duty? Number one, his first duty or her first duty is to please the Lord. That's the first duty that you have. What a great place to start, huh? In all duties that we have as a Christian, it does not change when you're a single. If you are single without a husband or without a wife, it does not change. You as a single Christian have the duty to please the Lord in all things. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You were created for God's pleasure. That's why you're here. That's why he saved you. You were born again for his pleasure, not so you could get out of hell. That's just a blessing. Amen? That's just a blessing of being saved and his child. But you know what? You were created for his pleasure. And you were born again for his pleasure, for his good pleasure. Well, that ought to make me wonder a little bit, shouldn't it? I wonder if I'm living my life for his good pleasure or if I'm living it for myself, to please myself. See how I told you it would impact every person here? I like what those Moravian preachers said. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. Go back and listen to that revival hymn or 10 shekels and a shirt. Listen to both those sermons. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. That is what your life is about as a single person. May the lamb of God receive the reward of his sufferings. That's what your life is about. See, you're too busy looking around at yourself and looking around at everything else and this world and being taken by it and tantalized by it and seduced by it and intoxicated by it and not enough on pleasing Christ, because that's what you're here for. I don't need to write you a book called A Purpose-Driven Book like Rick Warren or A Purpose-Driven Church. His purpose is to please the devil is what his purpose is. And he's doing a good job pleasing the devil. He's an antichrist. Kisses the Pope's pinky finger. Loser. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. As a single Christian, you're bought and paid for with a price. Sometimes you lose sight of that. All of us sometimes lose sight of that. But you are bought and paid for with a price. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Let me tell you something. There ain't no such thing as a Christian feminist. Ha ha! No such thing! No such thing as a Christian feminist. You could say amen. It's okay, Brother Paul. I'm just kidding. That's right. God doesn't believe in Christian feminists, okay? There is a name for them in the Bible. They're called Jezebels. Anyway, the Bible says, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? No, your body is yours. No, it isn't. It's God's. And if you're married, it's your husband's. Amen. If you're married, it's your husband's. So then he has a say in what you wear and what you do. Just like your wife has a say in how you present yourself too, big boy. Amen. You have a duty there too. Don't forget it. It says here, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Boy, that's that life of self-denial. That's not my best life now. Right? That's not that best life now, Christian single. No, you know what? Your best life is to come. You better start paying attention to what the Lord wants for your life. For you're bought with a price. How about that? Oh, it's my body. It's my life. No, it isn't. It's my choice. No, it isn't. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. I like how he says this because it's said again in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says the same thing again. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What's he talking about? He's talking about the body and the mind. He's talking about your thoughts, your heart, what you think. It's bought. What do you mean? Are you saying that I'm totally bought and paid for? Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're his, maybe you're not. If you're not, then you're lost and dying in your sins, and you need to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? You need to be saved. Why? Because in body and spirit, we are the Lord's. We are bought and paid for. So it doesn't matter what you want to do. Hey, I want to go someplace warm, okay? All right? I'm telling you. I'm fine with 70, 80 degrees all year round, and even 100 if it gets hot, fine. But I mean, hey, have to dress in 18 layers to go preach? I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. But it's the will of God. So it's not. It's what God wants, and who cares what I want? I don't care. Hey, last year, Brother Paul wanted to leave. He had it all set up to go. Preached one message one night, and he stood up and said, I was wrong. I was ready to leave. You look at what would have happened if he would have left, and what God has done and brought men here to preach and to do things with, and God has used him greatly for that. You think about that. That's why we can't think about ourselves. We've got to think about Christ. We're not our own. Doesn't matter if we don't like something. Doesn't matter if it's pleasant to us. It matters what's right, and it matters that we're owned by God. And yeah, you are owned by somebody. And it's Christ. And you have no right to think dirty thoughts and live a dirty life because you are bought and paid for. So you see, you and I just can't make any decision we want to make. You and I are here to please the Lord. Your cares as a single person are how you may please the Lord. As a single man, you can wait upon the Lord without distraction. That's a weighty thing. When you have a wife and children and everything else, you can't just take off and do that and go minister and do something. You've got some things that you have to take care of. You have a home, you have children, you have a wife that you have to take care of. You have responsibilities that you have to take care of. Amen. You have those necessities and those things that must take place, so life is different. It's not worse. It's not a bad thing. It's just simply different. And as a single person, you have to learn that you are to wait upon the Lord without distraction. That's what a single lady is supposed to. You're to wait upon the Lord without distraction. You don't need any distractions. See, your life is complete right now where you are until God brings somebody into your life. If God brings somebody into your life, your life is complete and whole in Christ now. That's what you have to understand. Your life is complete and whole in Christ now. I've seen many people and heard of many people chasing something down to want something. Boy, they didn't like it after they got it, did they? It didn't end well, did it? You let God bring that person into your life. You let God lead in that way. You let the Lord do that, but you are complete and whole without it. And God will give you, if it's his will, he'll give you someone. So you can concentrate now on serving the Lord and doing all you can do for the glory of God, whether you're a man and it's preaching and teaching and helping, or whether you're a lady. there's plenty of things you can do for the Lord now. There's plenty of people you can help, and we're going to get to that. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. You get a little distracted when you get married. Isn't that right, Brother Bicey? You get a little distracted. Right, Brother Roy? You get a little distracted? He ain't shaking his head. He ain't been married long enough to shake his head. He ain't doing that yet. He's like, I'll wait a few years, brother, but I ain't shaking my head now. I don't want to make her mad. I'm just kidding. He's like, I ain't got to that 5-year mark yet. I can't do that yet. I gotta wait a little while. We gotta have some more time. I'm just kidding. I noticed Lee's head's down too, though. He ain't saying nothing. He's just kind of sitting there. He's like, I don't know if I want to say anything or not right now. I think I'll leave it alone. Pleasing the Lord without distraction. You as a single person have that awesome opportunity to do that if it's the Lord's will, and he'll bring someone into your life. But you have that awesome opportunity now to serve the Lord, be faithful to God, to do for the Lord. But you know what? If God never gives you someone, then you can serve him without distraction and please him in all things. You won't be concerned with pleasing a husband, but pleasing the Lord in all things and serving him as a man or a lady, whichever you are. You have a chance now to know the Lord spiritually and allow him to build you up in your most holy faith. You know, that's one of the problems I'm seeing here. I'm not seeing a lot of young single people that are saved. Single Christians have a desire to know God and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. You know, I'm not seeing that as much out of young singles. I'm seeing them always looking and wanting something else, but never growing solid in the scriptures and having the power of God on their life and praying down the power of God from heaven on their church or on their family or on their situation. I don't see it, but I see a lot of moping around, and I see a lot of dragging your feet around. I don't see a lot of Christian desire to know God and have the power of God. But this is the time that you're supposed to do that. And maybe it just is that God will not give you someone in your life because spiritually you couldn't handle it. Whew, that might be a little too real. That might be a little too real, huh? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen? Yeah. Seek him first. That's the problem. You're not seeking him. You need to seek him. You need to spend time in the book and in prayer and praying and helping others. So much selfishness. I don't see how anybody is really going to make a good spouse for someone if they are so absolutely selfish. And they cannot have a devotion to God now. I do not see how God would bring someone into your life to bring them down. I don't think so. I don't think God's going to do that. No. How much time has been wasted? As a saved Christian single, how much time have you wasted not getting to know the Lord and the power of God and even having a prayer life? You think you don't have a prayer life now? You think you're going to have one when you're married with children and a husband to take care of? You think if you're not diligent now in your studies and your scriptures, in learning the Bible and praying and seeking God's face, that you as a wife or a husband will be able to do that as efficiently? Oh, I'm sorry, because everything changes when you get married. Your responsibilities, everything, your mind, everything changes. Your direction, the Bible says it, you're devoted then to your husband. But where is your devotion to the Lord now? If you cannot be devoted to God now, how could you ever be devoted to someone then, effectively, in a spiritual sense, be a blessing to them? No, you have a time to build yourself up in your most holy faith right now. Right now. Don't despise the goodness of God that allows you that time to do that and that opportunity to do that. But year goes by and time goes by and wasted time, not redeeming the time, always making excuses why you can't grow spiritually. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When you, if you're a wife, you're going to have to be a spiritual one if you're going to deal with a husband, okay? Because guess what? That husband, after that honeymoon's over and life begins to be real, you know, after that little bubble pops after a little while and reality sets in, you know, the stars leave your eyes. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? No, but Paul says, no, I'm still starry-eyed. I still got stars in my eyes. I'm just sure you do, Paul. But anyway, you know when reality sets in and, you know, and everyday life and, hey, things are a little bit difficult and we have struggles and trials and temptations and problems and concerns and all of those things. What do you have to fall back on if you're not spiritual walking with the Lord? You're going to get shaken and stirred is what's going to happen. I've seen that so many times. People shaken up and stirred on things that they should never even be shaken up over. Why? They're not walking with the Lord. They don't have the power of God. You as a Christian single have the opportunity now to do that. But let me ask you, how are you doing? Are you spending much time in devotion with the Lord? Are you waiting on the Lord without distraction? Young men that don't have a wife and young ladies that don't have husbands, where is your heart? Is it with the Lord? Is that where it is? Is it found in Christ? Is that where you are? Are you daily searching the scriptures? Are you daily praying and seeking God's face? Now here's another one for you. How about us? How are we doing? Are we doing that? Are we seeking God's face? Are we praying? Are we in the scriptures? Are we learning? Are we studying to show ourselves approved unto God? Huh? Because maybe some of the problems and maybe some of the trials and things that you have are because you're not going to the Lord. You don't have any clear direction. You just think you got it all figured out. Listen. People think Christianity is like McDonald's or something, you know. They think it's like, well, we know what a McDonald's is. We know what you do when you go into McDonald's. I do too. You get sick. Anyway, but I mean, you know what you do when you go into McDonald's. You know what you have to order, and pretty much every McDonald's is the same. That's how many people are treating the Christian life. The same exact way, like it's some kind of McDonald's. You just go in and everything's the same. You just order it this way. You know what? You're not following the scriptures and you're not seeking God's face. You're not earnestly seeking him and fervently praying and wanting to have the power of God. Listen, Christian single, you have a chance to do that now. And you have a chance to be prepared. To be prepared to be a godly wife or a godly husband. What you are receiving and preaching and teaching, many people have never gotten their whole life. They've never heard it. They've never had a lot of that preaching. And you say, are you making that up, preacher? No, I'm not. I get letters all the time that say the same exact thing. Okay, so I'm not. It's not me. It's what the Lord's doing. But it's real. It's true. And by the way, if any of you haven't listened to that Christian Life series, you need to go back and listen to that. Some of you were here for that, but some of you have never heard that before. You need to listen to that series. It is 15 sermons on the Christian life, and it's going to be mandatory for people that want to be a member here. They need to listen to those sermons first, because they may not even want to be around us after they listen to those, okay? Amen. But it'll help you understand Christian life. By the way, are you edifying yourself with good sermons during the day and listening to that? Are you allowing God to speak to your heart through things like that? You better be listening and being edified by things during the day. Don't waste your life away messing around and with garbage and trying to listen to the stupid radio. Because let me tell you, let me make it easy for you. It's all garbage, okay? Let me make it easy for you. It's all a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of humanistic principles and God haters. That's what it is. There you go. That made it easy for you. Even our friends at WCCO, that's right. Now, just download a bunch of sermons. I'm not talking about mine. There's plenty of sermons out there, but you need to listen to that Christian Life sermon series, though. But listen to some sermons, be edified, grow your faith. If you can do that during the day, there's no excuse for you not to. What, you think your children are going to get hurt by listening to some sermons? Well, I don't think so. I think they need to hear them too. And good godly music too, by the way. All right. You know, let me say this to you. Pitiful husband you'll make if you cannot even be devoted to the one who saved you by his grace. And pitiful wife you will be if you cannot love the Lord enough to pray and read the Bible and follow his commands. I don't know who you think you're fooling, but it ain't God. You're not fooling him at all. This life is serious and it's a war. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Number two, the single Christian is to be holy in body and spirit. Paul just said that you're not your own, you're bought and paid for with a price. So he said to be holy in body and spirit, right? Well, he says it again here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now the unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. That's the unmarried. That's those that are either divorced, those that are put away, divorced. It could even mean the widow. Or those that are unmarried, those that are single as well. You know, Romans chapter 12 gives the same principle. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. You're to be holy in body. How do I do that? Well, first of all, by presenting your body a living sacrifice. You'll most certainly take that first step. Lord, I'm yours. I know you own me. God's not going to force you, though. But you gotta submit to him. You know, I'm going to preach on this again. I preached a series on the wars in James chapter 4 a while ago. It was about 3 or 4 years ago, probably about 4 years ago now. It's been a while. There was a series of about 12 or 13 messages in James chapter 4 that I preached. And one of those wars was the war with the devil. And the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You got to submit first to God. And then you can resist the devil. But you can't resist the devil without submitting to God. You will give in to the devil if you do not submit yourself to God. That's why he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How about that? That wicked old serpent will run from you. Yeah, he will. Why? Because you're submitted to God. Picture it like this. God's behind you, right? Well, you're right here, and the devil comes to you, and all you do is back up and say, well, I'm submitted to God, and he runs. Well, why is he running? Because God's behind your shoulder. That's why. Amen. He's taken off because he don't want to mess with God because he can't. So he leaves. That's how that works. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You're to be holy in body by presenting your body a living sacrifice. After all, you are bought and prayed for with a price. Well, how am I holy in body? Well, first of all, he explains some things to us, and he tells us some things in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. I think you can figure that one out real quick. Because the next verse he talks about, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Oh, wait, to avoid fornication. Yeah, there's some preachers out there that try to say that, well, that touching is not, you know, there's one preacher said, oh, you can mess around a little bit. You can have a little bit of fun. No, you can't. That's not fun. It's evil. It's wicked. Yeah, exactly. It's evil. It's wicked. The Bible says it is not good for a man to touch a woman. What does that mean? Hands off. That's what it means. By the way, didn't your daddy ever teach you something? If it's not yours, you don't touch it? Amen. Huh? Well, if he didn't, somebody else's dad might do it with a shotgun. Amen. So the Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. What's that mean? Avoid fornication. Guess how you avoid fornication? Did you know the surefire way to avoid fornication? Never touch anybody. Did you know that? Isn't that remarkable? Wow, you mean that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's right there, isn't it? It says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. So, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every wife have her own husband. Well, that's pretty simple. He says, if you don't touch, you won't fornicate. Yeah, that's pretty easy. That's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? Simple. Simple. We have the command of God for a single Christian. If you're going to be holy, then you don't let anybody touch you. Amen. We have that command. It's good for a man. It's good. It's godly. It's right. Paul says it's not good. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to do things that are against God's order? People put themselves in positions a lot of times that are very dangerous. They put themselves in positions that somebody could defile them. Don't put yourself in that position. Ever. Pastors put themselves in that position. That's right. Pastors put themselves in that position a lot of times. Ridiculous. How can you be holy in body, Christian single, if you're breaking this principle right here? Paul says it's not good. He said, if you cannot contain, then you marry rather than burn in your lust one for another. You marry. The Bible says. If you really want to bring people to Christ as a single person, you better live holy. Don't try to live like the world or be the world light or be Christian light and try to, well, I don't want to be considered holier than thou. Why not? Why not? Why not? Why not be the peculiar one, the one that nobody likes? They think you're weird. Oh, that's a weird standard you have. You don't do this. So that's a weird thing that you hold to. Yeah, it is. But that's the way I'm living. It's called peculiar. Let me show you why. When you don't go about the same riotous living as everyone around you, when you don't go about the same joke telling and the wickedness, you as a Christian single, when you don't go on dates with people and you don't date like the world does. You don't play girlfriend and boyfriend games like the world does. Ridiculous, wicked, and not necessary either. You either believe by faith or you don't that God's going to bring someone into your life. But you don't go about that same type of living as the world does and dating. I preached a sermon on that about a year ago, I think it was, or 6 months ago, on dating. But talk about dads prostituting out their daughters. Don't spend time alone with the opposite sex and don't put yourself in a position that will cause you to sin. You have a responsibility to be holy. And as a single, you have a lot more opportunity to get yourself in trouble. I mean, everybody does, but you have a lot more opportunity being single. And you have to guard yourself against evil. You have to guard yourself. You don't date like the world dates. You don't spend time alone with people like the opposite sex like the world does. God said you must be holy. Just because you are single and have passions and desires does not give you a pass to not be holy. God has said that you must be holy, that you're concerned to be. That is your main concern. One of your main concerns is to be holy in body and spirit. I like what one preacher said. He said, for contemplative wickedness and mental uncleanness also greatly displeaseth the Lord. Your mind must be holy. Your thoughts must be holy. You must put them under the captivity and obedience to Christ. Your thought life must be holy. And as a single, your thought life must be holy because you can go out on a limb quickly. You can get yourself in trouble quickly. And many times singles don't take good counsel from people and they don't listen to godly advice and they get themselves in trouble because they think on emotions. It leads to disaster. You cannot allow your imagination to run with you. You must bring every thought under the obedience to Jesus Christ. Because you do not have the same relationship as married people, you of all people must keep your spirit and your body holy. Your thoughts must be clear. You must think on good things. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's where your thought life has to be. On clean, righteous, and holy things. You cannot entertain evil thoughts and perverse and wicked thoughts. You cannot think those thoughts. You cannot allow those thoughts because your avenue is not the same as that of a married person. You can lead yourself down a wrong road very quickly and be taken and consumed very quickly with evil. So you can't engage in those type of things. Your thoughts must be brought into captivity. Many times in a single's life, they do not have a proper headship. With a young lady, she may not have a father or a husband to watch over her. That's the double importance for you to be holy in spirit and in mind, in the heart and the inner man. Single man or woman, you must keep your spirit in your mind clear. Of course, there is that this is always through the sanctification of the spirit, but we have to be yielded to the Holy Ghost. We have to be yielded to the Spirit of God. If you're going to be holy in body and spirit, you have to be responsible and you have to be modest. That's the next thing I want you to understand, modesty. It is your duty that you lead no one astray with your life and conversation. As a single person, especially as a lady or a man, but as a lady, in like manner also, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9, the Bible says this, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Women professing godliness with good works. You know, a single lady must be careful to be modest. You who may not have a direct headship over you and someone who is watching out for you, you have to take heed to the scriptures more diligently than some others because you have a greater occasion to stumble. You have a greater opportunity to stumble. And you don't have the same watch guard as many others do. So you have to keep things clear and you have to be modest. It's very important. You may not have direct headship over you and someone who's watching out for you. You have to take heed to the scriptures more diligently than some others. As a single lady, your duty is to have your conversation a chaste conversation. One that is modest, and a young lady should never speak boldly or brash or forward or froward, but should be modest and not manly. You got to watch your speech. There are young Christian ladies have no business speaking boldly and brass towards men. They have no business being that way. That should not be their conversation. That is the complete opposite of biblical conversation. You should never be confrontational in your speech as a lady like that. You should never be aggressive like that in your speech like that. That is not appropriate. That is not what God wants. I've seen that with young ladies. They can be very aggressive or assertive in their conversation. It's wrong. It's not chaste conversation. It's not modest speech. I've seen it. Neither is it appropriate for a single lady to hang around and converse with a bunch of men. It's not proper. If there's a bunch of guys gathered together, even at church, there's a bunch of men gathered together and they're talking and everything else, it's not appropriate for a lady to be a part of that huge conversation, to come in and just be a part of that like they're one of the guys and to converse with men like that. Yes, sure, you're going to say hi. I'm not saying you got to walk around and not talk to anybody. That's not the point. The point is the conversation is way different. Just like a man doesn't walk into a huge woman conversation and start... Just, you know, I don't know what you'd talk about anyway, but what you'd want to talk about but in that conversation. But anyway, not much. I've looked around before, been like, man, there's too many women around here. I'm leaving. I just walk in the other room or something. Where's all the guys at? Where'd they go? This is weird. But I've seen a lot of single ladies. I've seen them just walk up and talk to men very forwardly and brat. That's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. It's not biblical. It's not a biblical conversation. It's not a way a lady should be. You need to understand the difference that God made men, men, and women, women, and there's a difference in boys and girls. And it's not just anatomy, okay? I want to help you out with that. It's not just anatomy. Do you understand that? If that's too real for you, then grow up, okay? Just grow up. You'll get over it. But that's not the only difference. God made you differently for a reason. You are different. She is, men, she is not a female man, okay? All right, you understand that? Your wife's not a female man. She's not a female version of you, thank God. All right? She's different. She's a lady. She thinks differently. She has different emotions. She has different needs and desires and wants and other things. You need to understand that. She's not a female version of you. Amen. They're different. And you need to remember that and respect that, by the way. There's a respect factor that goes with that. Some of you don't respect that, though, and that's sad. You better get right with God about that. The other thing is that there are ladies that, these young ladies that want to act like men, and they get bold and they get brass like men, and they enter. Man, I've heard some young ladies say some things to men, and I'm standing back and I'm like, I cannot believe you just said that to him. I mean, that is just totally inappropriate. Totally inappropriate. Not the speech or place for a lady. Now, that may make some people uncomfortable. They don't like to see those differences. And I promise you, your local fundy pastor out there that makes a lot of money, he's not going to say half of these things, okay? First of all, he doesn't know his Bible. Second of all, he's too scared of women. That's one of the reasons why he doesn't do it. He's too scared that somebody's going to get mad and leave the church. Well, if you leave the church over me telling you the truth, tough. I'll see you around. Amen. I'm telling you. You can't preach with fear. You can't preach with the fear of man. The fear of man breaketh a snare. I ain't going to be afraid of anybody but God. Amen. That's right. Single man, you must have your conversation to that of the gospel. Be careful of the words you use. Single men, you'd be careful about how they have a what they conversate about, how they talk in their speech as well, especially around ladies. There's inappropriate speaking around ladies. There's speaking that should not be done, and you need to be careful. By the way, a young man ought to be careful about how much time he talks to a married lady. He shouldn't really talk to him that much. It's not appropriate. Not appropriate at all. He needs to be careful about that. Amen. It's called good gospel order. In fact, Paul set it down, if you read it in Titus chapter 2. Paul said, why do you think Paul is telling young Titus? Why is he telling young Titus all these things? Because he's saying, hey, this is how you treat the younger. This is how you treat the elder. This is how you treat this person. This is why. Because we need instructions. And so somebody couldn't say 2,000 years later at Old Paths Baptist Church, well, I didn't know. Oh, yes, you did. It's right there. So God made sure you knew. Amen. There is an order. There is a good gospel order. There is a good place. That doesn't mean you can't talk to anybody. That doesn't mean you can't be friendly and say hi. You know what I'm talking about. If you think it's any more, if you're trying to make it out to be something bigger than that, then you're just being ridiculous and stubborn, by the way, and proud. Because that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that there's a difference in the speech. There's a difference in the way that we talk. Amen. I'll tell you what, when I get in a room full of these guys over there and I'm over there and we're meeting and we're talking, or we're in a van full of guys and there's no women around, I guarantee you the conversation is way different. Shut up, Brother Aaron. He's got it all recorded on the radio show. He just records all this evidence against me for the first like 2 hours of show prep. He's recording all of it. Me and Nate acting crazy. But anyway. Yeah, I don't believe you. You left my oops in there in that radio. You left my oops in that. I know you did. And you laughed about it after you left it in there too. You said, I think it sounds good for the show. So you left me saying oops in there. Thanks. See? It'll take a long time for me to trust you again, brother. Until tomorrow. I got over it already. Bible talks about holy conversation. It's very important, especially for the single. I can't stress this enough. Trouble can come. It can lead to trouble if you're not careful with your speech. A sober, holy conversation, and never speak perverse or crooked. A single man should never spend time like we talked about. We already talked about that. Okay. This is that forward. You know, we need to have a good gospel order with our speech. Young men are exhorted to be sober-minded 8 times in the New Testament. Can you believe that? 8 times he exhorts us to be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. Be serious. Be serious. Be sober. Amen. That's talking about many things. Not being intoxicated with the cares of this life. Not being intoxicated with the world. Not being intoxicated with evil. Not being intoxicated with laughter. Amen. Many things. Most singles today are too concentrated on themselves and not on Christ and helping others. But the Bible says you as a lady are to be modest and have good works. By the way, he says show forth with modesty and with good works. Let me ask you, what good works are you doing, young lady? What good works are you doing to help others? How are you helping others? Ask yourself that question. I'll give you a good example. I'm gonna give you a good example here. We have a time here where we have every week we eat together. We fellowship. Are you as a young single lady? Are you helping clean up? Are you part of that? Because there's a lot of ladies chasing kids around. There's a lot of ladies trying to take care of a lot of stuff. Are you up helping? Think about it. Because you have an opportunity to serve others. And that is one of the major opportunities you have. You have that opportunity to serve others. By the way, let me say something to you. Men notice whether you're a servant. Men notice that. So I'm just wondering, are you about that? Are you about helping others? That's a perfect opportunity right there for you to be a servant and to help others. And by the way, it doesn't matter how old you are either, amen? You can help. These young girls, they can help, amen? They do. They do. They can help. In fact, my little girl is going to start helping. My 6-year-old is going to be over there, and she is going to be helping her mother every week. First, before she does any playing, she's going to help because I'm going to lead by example, and my little 6-year-old is going to do some work over there because she needs to, because she's learning. Amen. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm starting with me, okay? If I'm going to preach it, I'm going to live it, okay? And I'm going to start with me, and I'm going to say my little 6-year-old girl is going to be over there helping wash tables and cleaning up and doing things because she needs to. She's learned. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Paul tells all the Christians that they need to have good works. He tells all of us, we need good works. Do you have them? How do you help? Well, charity begins at home. Are you helping your family? Are you helping your family? You ought to be the first person to help the family. Your family. You ought to be the first to help if they need help. As a Christian single, you have an opportunity. You can help. You know, you got to divorce the intoxication with everything else and start to be sober-minded. And in your family, you should be the first to help if somebody needs help. Amen. Charity starts at home, amen? It starts at home. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you one thing right now. If I had family that needed my help and I had to have somebody else do it because I wouldn't do it, I would be ashamed of not obeying God. I would be ashamed of not helping when I could. Amen. You should be the first one to help if they need it. The first one. Amen. I want you to think past the end of your nose once, okay? I know when you're young and you get selfish, and I understand, believe me, I do. I know how it is. But you listen here. There's ladies in this church. They've got children. They're running around. They're giving their lives to their families to help. And some of you can help. Some of you can help. Amen. And should. By the way, don't go. I've met some people that'll go sail the seven seas to help people, but won't help right at home. Why? Well, because you get glory doing that. Somebody knows you've helped then. If you go all the way out of your way to that, somebody knows you've helped then. But at home or around your family, oh, nobody's going to know that. So then you have to judge your motives. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of single people out there that need to understand they do have a ministry in a local church, and it is to help. It is to assist. It is to be there. It is to be an extra set of hands when somebody needs it. But of course, you couldn't do that if you're so selfish. The only thing you're concerned about is you. And you couldn't be able to do anything. Amen. See, sometimes you think, well, you're single, so you must be exempted from all the... No, you're not exempted from anything. You have a duty. You have an absolute duty to help. And as a single, you have an opportunity to be able to help some of these ladies as well that are here. As a single lady, you have that opportunity. More than you know. And there's young men that have... They can help too. There's things they can do. Amen? Or there's older men, there's things they can do. So how is it, young man, are you about good works? Are you about yourself? Are you walking in charity and good works? Single ladies, how about you? With good works, the Bible says. Holy with good works, the Bible says. Number three, or four, I don't know which, I lost track. A Christian single has a duty to be accountable. This is a major one. You have a duty as a Christian single to be accountable. You say, well, I don't have a husband, or my father's not around, or you know, I don't have this. Well, first, if you have a God-fearing father that is following the Scriptures, then your first place of accountability should be your Christian father and mother. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother. Amen. So you have that first. Ephesians chapter 5 says, for this cause, verse number 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So as we see in our text here, the father, the child is with their father until they're married, pretty much. That's the way it should be anyway, for the most part. I mean, there's going to be circumstances that change. Sin always affects the order. Can't do anything about sin when that comes up. There's nothing we can do to change that. We have to live for God, but we can't do anything about changing any of those things, okay? All right? But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 36, but if any man thinketh that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. What's he talking about here? Well, the father gives away the bride. Again, Paul nails that down. I've heard some people say, well, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. No, it's not just the Old Testament, because Paul reiterates it here, that the father is the one that gives the virgin away, gives his bride away. He gives his daughter away to be a bride. Now, what happens if that order is not there? What do we do with that? By the way, I think it's fascinating. You cannot leave someone who you've already left. The Bible says a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Well, how do you do that? Well, you can't do that if you're already gone, right? So you've already left. The Bible says that a young man really leaves when? When he gets married. That's when he leaves. When does she leave? When she gets married. Now, you say, well, what if my son wants to say, well, my advice to you is get your son in a trade, amen, or whatever he wants to do for a job like that, and get him making some money so he can save money to buy a house. Because, honestly, there's no reason for my son to leave my home until he's married. Right. Say, why do you feel that way? Are you trying to make him a baby? No, I'm trying to make him accountable. Because I see no good reason why you got to live out there by yourself when you're not a man to have a wife, and you have no one to take care of you, and you're just kind of running around out there. Why do you know that? Because I was that guy that ran around out there. That's how. Say, you're going to make sure you know when he comes in and when he leaves when he's 19, 21 years old? You bet I am. Amen. You bet I am. I want to know where he's at, what he's doing. Don't you trust him? No. Uh-uh. I don't trust what's out there. And he's got to go out there. But you know what? There's something about coming back and looking at your father in his eyes when you come home after you've been out there. And when he has a God-fearing father that he looks in his eyes and he sees him, I want to see his face. I want him to look at me. Amen. Hey, and I didn't even have any caffeine today. I've been off caffeine for 3 days. I'm still screaming. Listen to this. Crazy. Can't blame it on the coffee, amen. I want him to look me in my eyes when he comes home from that. I want him to have accountability. I want him to see that, you know, that same preacher, that father of yours has been preaching this book for 30 years by that time, that father that's been preaching that book is holding you accountable. Every time I see you, boy, I want to know what you're doing. See, I don't like that. Tough, you ain't my son. It don't matter what you like. Amen. See, that's too harsh. No, it isn't. It's called love. And by the way, my daughter's not going out there. Amen. She's staying in the castle. Amen. She's going to be taken care of until some man wants to take care of her. If he don't want to take care of her, he can get on down the road. Because I'll be a man and take care of her. I'll tell you what, some of these young punks that I see that don't want to take care of women. I know, I'm a mean preacher. I shouldn't have said that, right? I've never seen a bunch of effeminate men in my life that don't want to go out and take care of their women. I'm telling you something right now. It's ridiculous. Absolutely. If you ain't man enough to take care of her, then don't ask for her hand in marriage. Amen. Yeah. She don't have to be rich. She don't have to live in splendor or whatever. That doesn't matter. I'm not talking about that. That's ridiculous. You don't need that anyway. We're so blessed. We have more than what we deserve anyway and what we need. I'm just talking about being a man. Amen? Anyway, but there are some people that don't have that authority. They don't have that over them. They don't have that. So what happens if I don't have if you don't have a father over you? You better get some accountability. You better be accountable. If you don't have a God-fearing brother or a God-fearing uncle or a God-fearing somebody that's following the scriptures, then you know what? You better be in a church. And you better be accountable in that church, and you better be accountable to that church. Amen. You better be accountable. If you don't have proper headship like that, then you need to have some accountability. Whether it's some godly ladies that are there in the church that are living for God, whether it's a godly older couple, maybe an elderly couple that you're staying with or that's helping you, or whether it's the pastor and his wife that you're accountable to, and I said and his wife, by the way, so he's not alone by himself. Amen. Got no reason to talk to you alone by yourself. Half the time you can talk to his wife anyway. Actually, 3/4 of the time you can talk to her. Pretty much most of the time. Amen? If he needs something, then guess what? She can take care of it. His wife can get to him. She can ask me questions. Amen. I don't got to be involved with everything. If there's godly elder women, the Bible set that order down. Well, listen, you can still be accountable, and you have a responsibility as a single to be accountable. You better be accountable. The Bible says so. If you don't have proper headship, then as a single lady, you better be under some godly advice, some godly counsel. The Bible says the elder women are commanded in Scripture to teach the younger women. By the way, no one was ever anything for Christ that wasn't accountable. If you can't be accountable to somebody, you'll never be anything for God. I'm telling you, I've met these people out there. You know what? I've met a ton of people out there. You know what? They don't want to go to a local church, and they don't want to be part of a local church. So they're out there in the middle of nowhere, and they're doing that. Now, there's some that can't find one, okay? And I understand they got to, you know, they're figuring it out. They're praying. They're wanting to move. There's all kinds of stuff going on out there with people, okay? God's moving and shaking people around out there, and things are happening. God's gathering a remnant together. But there are some people that they don't have a church around them. I get that. But you know what? There are a lot of people, though, a great number of people that they think they can handle it all by themselves. So they're out there by themselves. By the way, nobody really listens to anything they have to say anyway. They kind of just talk and blabber along or whatever, but nobody really listens to them, and they have no accountability, and they pretty much do what they want. And then after a little while, you see them go off into heresy. They go off into licentious, wicked lifestyle. Why? Because they don't have any accountability. They don't have to answer for anybody, to anybody. They say, oh, I answer to God. No, you don't. Because God has an order and you're not following it, so you're not answering to God. Yeah, the will of God is for you to be in a church, amen? The will of God is for you to be accountable. That's why we have accountability here. We're accountable one to another, that's why. If you are a young man, you must be accountable to a father or mother first. If that's not possible, you must be accountable to men of the church. They must pray for you and carefully watch over you and help you and guide you in your most holy faith. That is the duty of the church, and that is the duty of the Christian single, to be accountable and to be around others. Just go off by yourself. Nobody knows what you're doing, how you're living, or anything else. God doesn't want that. 1 Peter 5:5. Go there, please. 1 Peter 5:5. We're almost done, I think. Pretty close. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, how do you humble yourself? Don't act like you're humble if you're not accountable to anybody. Don't put on a phony humbleness there and say that you're humble, or a false humility. Don't do that. If you're not accountable to anybody, then you're not humble. Because God says accountability. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. This is the principle that you and I should live by, submitting. By the way, let me tell you something, young lady. Don't marry anyone if you don't have godly counsel. And I mean godly male counsel. Talk to a God-fearing older couple, a God-fearing pastor and his wife. Talk to them, and male, but under proper order, obviously, with his wife there. I have to be specific because people will think I'm saying something I'm not, so I have to be really clear here. God wants you, listen, and why do you say a man? Because I don't care if it's my wife, okay? She's still a lady. All right? And guys think a lot differently than girls do, okay? Ladies are emotional. Now, sometimes a lady that's outside of it can think and be like, I'm not saying they can't think. I'm telling you, though, that a man will look at things and he'll be like, no, I don't like that guy. I mean, he'll just think of something he don't like about him and bring it up to make you think. I mean, you know what I mean? Even if it's not, the guy's not that bad, he'll be like, I don't know about that guy. Why? Because we don't trust people that easy like that. Why? Because we know what's in us. Amen. As men. And you're thinking, oh, he's going to love me. And we're thinking, no, he's not. I don't trust him. I don't like him. Right? So a pastor or a man, a God-fearing man, is going to look at that. He's going to say, you know what? I don't know. I mean, I don't think. And you know what I've found most people do? They run off and make a decision, then come back and say, hey, pastor, I'm engaged. Oh, well, hey. Great. Now, I don't really necessarily think that you need to talk to me because I believe in headship. But I sure hope your daddy understands what you're getting yourself into. And I hope he's following good gospel order. And I hope he believes the scriptures. Because I've seen where that leads. I watched it happen. It's not good. Anyway, you need to get godly counsel. This does not mean a single lady talks to the pastor alone, obviously. We've discussed that. But if you have no godly father to guide you, then you need to seek guidance. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse number 7 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls. Do you understand that? For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Not for me, for you. You may not have the perfect scenario of headship over you as a single, but you can have accountability and godly biblical counsel from a church pastor that's caring for his flock. Again, I think the perfect order is fathers coming together, making a covenant together, right? And giving that daughter away and me really just talking to the dad or something if he wants to talk. But that's the way that I bless. I understand that we're in a vacuum right now of time where people have not been doing things right. So I'm going to have to be involved with things more than I really want to be. I'll be honest with you. I don't really want to be involved with it because I believe it's the Father's place to do. But I know the vacuum that we're in of biblical teaching, the famine in the land of truth, that there's going to be times when I'm going to have to be a part of some of that. Not because I have a desire to be, though. But it is my duty to counsel you whether you're male or female, but always in God's order. Always in God's order. Never by myself with a female or anything like that. I want to make that clear so you understand that. Listen, we would that every young man and lady stay at home with godly parents. And then my duty is just to preach and teach to the assembly and edify your father and mother so they can give you good counsel. That's what I'd like to do. That's the way I'd like it to be. I would that young ladies who are single, if possible, move in with godly older ladies that may be single or a very elderly couple that need attention and can offer wisdom and guidance to them. I wish that would be the way. That would be the best way to do it. One of the better ways to do it, if it can't be under a father or mother scenario. However, sin does change the order of things and doesn't make it possible to have that perfect order all the time. We understand that. Though your heart is right, your fathers and mothers may not be. And that makes it more difficult. Because it's not the same scenario. You're responsible, though, to God. You have a duty to God to seek godly counsel and do not get involved in a relationship with anyone until you've sought godly counsel. Now, before somebody runs away and says, oh, he just wants to control everything, I didn't say it had to be me, okay? So understand that. I'm not saying it has to be me. I want to make that very clear. Believe me when I tell you this. I really don't want to get involved, okay? I don't really have the time to. I've got my own family to raise, all right? But as a pastor, I realize there's a duty there to shepherd the flock. And if there is somebody there that needs help, that is not seeking godly counsel, well, then that does affect us. But I would rather it be done through your fathers. That's the right way to do it. That's the biblical way to do it. If they have a godly father, then they follow good gospel order, then they can seek that. Amen. Young lady needs to talk to the elder women and the pastor and his wife. They need to seek that gospel order. If you are subject to the church and you are in the right church, you will have the counsel you need to make good decisions as a young person. And you'll be wise if you follow that counsel and heed that instruction. You know, you may have to say no to something, but it's better to say no than to ruin the rest of your life. Amen. It's better to say no and get it over with. Trust me, I could give you people that would give you testimony to say they would rather have just said no and had their family say no and walk away from it than to have to go through what they went through. Amen. If you step out of God's order and you go it alone, you'll regret it. Let's finish with Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That is the whole duty of the Christian single as well. To fear God and keep his commandments. I hope this helps a little bit. I hope it helps you understand some order there that God expects in what you can do, what your options are. If you don't live at home and you don't have that godly father or mother, but there are some things that you can do. You can be subject. By the way, if you're out there somewhere and you are like that, but you're not in a God-fearing church and you don't have any godly headship over you, you better get to a church that is God-fearing. You better get to a church and submit yourself. Find the right church, one that's according to the Scriptures, one that follows the Word of God. Get to that church and submit yourself to that church and be accountable. Don't be out there trying to be a rebel without a cause out there, okay? You're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your words. Lord, I pray it helps somebody that hears it, even here and anywhere online or anywhere it may come. But Lord, I just pray, Father, that it would sink into the hearts of your people. The principles here for single or married are there. Help us to live them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.